It's Biggs Time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs Time.
The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs Time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now in the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Biggs A.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
I laughed aloud at Patrick Manley responding to your question about Cole Kmet being the special teams player of the week. I got to tell you, Brad, I read the quote you had from Cairo Santos, you know, which I thought was tongue in cheek, but apparently he can read the mind of the voters, and the idea that Pat Manley put all those games together and never gets that award, and the first long snapper ever to get it is a guy that comes in as a backup, was just hysterical to me.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest, okay? Rips off some high snaps that weren't, you know, real great form, but he got the job done, okay? And he got the job done against a team that was coming hard, right? You see a non-professional long snapper in an NFL game, and they're going to throw the kitchen sink at you. They're going to be more aggressive than they would otherwise. And he's able to get the ball back there. Torrey Taylor's able to get it down, and Cairo's able to kick it on the extra points. And they obviously had the one issue on the 43-yard field goal. I think it was former Bear Roy Robertson Harris that got a piece of that. But great job by Kmet. And when I chatted with Pat, because I saw it, and I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, Manley's going to laugh his ass off. So I called him, and he picked up right away, and I told him, and he's laughing. And then I said, Pat, he's the first long snapper to ever win. And I think he was just kind of dumbfounded. But I said, you know, that's an example of how – an important task is taken for granted in the National Football League. Yes. And I'm not advocating for long snappers to be
sounds like
first team player of the week with any regularity. But Pat said, you know, if you had perfect snaps and your long snapper is able to make two solo tackles on special teams, right, covering punts or something, that's that's a Hall of Fame game for a long snapper. And maybe they'll get some recognition moving forward. Who knows?
So I take it that Cole Kmet's days as a long snapper are over because the Bears have made some moves. Is it Jake McQuaid they signed? He made the Pro Bowl? Is Scott Daly coming back? Come on, Brad. What's the latest with the long snapping situation?
Yeah, I mean, Daly's got the left knee injury, which is the same knee he required surgery on last year in Detroit. He was hurt in week 8 or week 9 with the Lions. Had surgery on the knee that shut him down for the rest of the year, and I think they might have replaced him in Detroit with Jake McQuaid last year. McQuaid's been around the block. That's probably one of the reasons why he was on the street, but he's of experienced long snappers. Like, he would be the guy to go get right now, so he's on the practice squad, and they've got some coverage if Daly's not quite ready when they come back in another week. And then I'd say Patrick Scales, who is on IR, recovering from back surgery, I'm just guessing he's at least still a number of weeks out. I don't know that his return is imminent here.
I'm curious. We haven't spoken to you since word that they've flexed that game, and the game in Washington will be a 3:25 start. It'll be the lead crew on CBS. I mean, it's good they didn't put it at night, Brad. Don't get me wrong, but for me. But I'm curious: is that like? Are we acknowledging Caleb and his growth? Is it about Jaden Daniels and his growth? Is it about the two of them against each other? What do you read as the reason for that particular move?
Yeah, I mean, you look at it just off the top, and you're talking about the two most exciting rookie quarterbacks in the league going against one another. Like, that makes it attractive right there. You're guaranteed to have teams with winning records. The Bears are 4-2. Commanders are 4-2, and they play Carolina this week. So Washington likely to be 5-2 going into that game. And then I think another probably small part of the decision was that there wasn't great inventory when you look at what's going on that weekend in terms of juicy matchups. You know, what did they move out of that time slot that was there originally? That was the Philadelphia at Cincinnati game. The Eagles have been a little disappointing this season, and certainly the Bengals have been underwhelming. So I think you got a lot of factors made it an easy choice to showcase the top two picks from the draft who are playing well for their new teams.
So, Brad, we got about 3 weeks until the trade deadline, but we've seen four big trades this week in the NFL. How is Ryan Poles monitoring the trade market? Do you expect the Bears to get busy?
That was a big topic in my mailbag, and I looked at it from every angle I could imagine. And I can't see a pressing need for Ryan Poles right now. And you say, well, he's been super busy at the deadline the past 2 years. Indeed. Trading a second-round pick each of the last 2 years. Time to fill a really pressing need. 2 years ago, they didn't have enough skill position talent for Justin Fields, and they thought they could help that situation with Chase Claypool. That ended up being a bad move. Last year, at the middle part of the season, their pass rush was in rush hour in a construction zone, guys. So it was slowed down by multiple factors, their pass rush. So he felt he had to make a move. Remember, the team was – their record was bad. I think – I would bet there were people at Hollis Hall that wondered, hey, are we going to make it through to next year? Like, as awful as they were record-wise when they ended up getting Montez Sweat. So you sit here right now and you say, well, where's the need that would match one of those two that would compel Ryan Poles to make it? I don't see it. You guys could scream offensive line and your text machine line. They could scream it even louder. You don't see high-caliber offensive linemen made available in trade during the season. Like, that's a really good way to make a bad move for your football team. So could he sit back and check things out, inquire, see what the price is? Sure. I'm opposed to the idea of some big-name defensive end guys because, you know, that's what they did during the Lovie Smith era. They kept acquiring defensive talent and defensive talent and defensive talent. And as friend of the program, Olin Krutz, can tell you, you know, that put them in a position where at times they had to piece it together on the offensive line and they had to piece it together at the wide receiver position. And you can't go out and get a marquee name defensive end to pair up with Montez Sweat and have probably all the resources you need to do the heavy lifting that should be required for this offensive line in the offseason ahead.
I thought it was interesting. You think, like, if you could gift them a position at the trade deadline, it'd be defensive tackle.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at, like, okay, well, where have they not been great? And statistically, they're fine now because they had a really good performance against a lousy Jacksonville team in terms of stopping the run.
Yes.
Okay, I think they're, you know, you look at where they're at in the numbers right now, and they're fine. Prior to that Jacksonville game, they were probably just below the middle of the pack in the league. So, like, you know, if there's some defensive tackle type that's experienced, that's been around the block, that's not going to cost you an arm and a leg, maybe. But let's say you go out and get that player, okay? How are you fitting him into the rotation right now? Like, you don't want Billings off the field. I don't think you want to take Dexter off the field. So, that's where I was writing the answer to the mailbag question. I'm like, I got to come up with one position. And defensive tackle, I think that's legit. Do I think there's a move to be made there? I don't know. I'm certainly not predicting anything, but you wouldn't have to convince me like, hey, they could help themselves if they got an experienced D tackle and somehow added them to the mix without paying too much. But they need to keep their draft capital in place. Like these people who they got to trade this and do that. Like, no, how about the idea of going into the draft next year with a first round pick, a super high second round pick, thank you to the Carolina Panthers, yep, and their own second round pick. You know, that's a way better idea in my mind.
And Zach Pickens coming off the injured list will be like a trade acquisition in many ways. I mean, you could convince yourself and do those kind of mental gymnastics, but it's a good point, Brad. Let's look on the other side of the ball. I'm curious. I don't think, and I'm not suggesting there's a trade market for Khalil Herbert, but what are we to make about what's happened to Khalil Herbert, the forgotten running back?
Yeah, I just think it's kind of caught in a numbers game there where they obviously want to get the ball to DeAndre Swift. They've had a lot of success with Swift here lately, not only in the running game, but him making some explosive plays as a receiver out of the backfield. Roshan Johnson's fit in nicely with what they've asked him to do. You know, I was talking to a front office guy with another team the other day, and he, you know, just out of the blue started telling me how much he liked Roshan when he was coming out of Texas. So the Bears are getting him involved. There's just not enough touches, and you got to walk a fine line there to get people opportunities, because what's the one thing you hear running backs talk about, and I think you've heard people like Olin talk about it before also, you need to get that back lathered up a little bit. You got to get them going a little bit so he can get a feel for the game, and he can start turning those three-yard gains into five and the fives into sevens and things of that nature. So I don't think there's a market for Khalil Herbert if the Bears wanted to trade him. Like, I'm looking at that, and I get all kinds of suggestions in that regard. Like, you folks seen how replaceable that position is? Like, and if there was, you're talking about maybe a pick swap, right? I mean, he's out of contract after this season. It just doesn't add up to me. And he serves a value for them on the roster. He's involved in the kickoff return game. And, you know, God forbid DeAndre Swift has something happen. You know, what Swift or Roshan goes down with a high ankle sprain, then what are you going to do? Like, then what's your answer then? You've got some depth now. There's nothing wrong with that.
Brad, we talked a little bit about the fact that the Bears, with their takeaways, they've been getting fumbles this year. They have 7 forced fumbles. They've recovered 6. That matches the number they recovered a year ago. Amazing that they've already done that. And it's been something they've talked about. They're trying to punch the ball out. It seems as if it's working, and we know that they are getting interceptions, so it's a pretty high strike ratio for takeaways.
Yeah, they've done a nice job with that. The interceptions haven't quite come in the bunches that they did a year ago, but it's still early. I believe the 4 NFC North teams, guys, are top 7 in the league in
correct
turnover margin.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, what's the recipe for winning football games? Obviously, it's the takeaways and the turnovers, and all 4 teams in the division have done that. I will tell you, the fumble recovery rate that they're at right now, that is not sustainable, right? It's just too much happenstance and luck and quirky bounces involved. But they should do well at that because of what? The hits principle. You know, you see guys reacting, and not just defensive players. Like, remember, God, I'm trying to remember who put the ball on the ground, but it might have been Adunze. I can't remember. But remember Tevin Jenkins in the red
Jenkins,
zone?
Tevin Jenkins, Mr. On the Spot.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Right, exactly. So it's just that hits principle. You know, you see them in practice pay particular attention to the football when it's on the ground. Everybody run into the football. So they'll do well. But 6 out of 7 or whatever you said the statistic was in terms of forced fumbles and recoveries, they're not going to be able to keep that rate up.
Yeah. Brad, Mully and I kind of see this weekend's NFC North slate a little differently. I think the Vikings may come back to earth, and the Lions still have that offense even without Aiden Hutchinson. I think they might win, and I think the Packers have their hands full with the Texans coming into Lambeau. How do you see those two games, which will affect the Bears in the standings? What happens, do you think, Sunday?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, Sam Darnold got off to a fantastic start for the Vikings. I think he's cooled off a little bit lately. I'm really looking forward to watching that game. How does Detroit respond not only defensively but emotionally with Aiden Hutchinson lost for the year? Talking about a guy who probably was the early front runner for defensive player of the year, right? Like, I mean, he's that impactful, and he doesn't just produce for them. I think a lot of the players in that locker room feed off him. So how do the Lions respond to that? Do they have a little more offensive juice to make up for what's going to be an impacted pass rush? I don't see, you know, 10 or 12 spare sacks sitting out there that they can go get. It'll be interesting to see if their GM, Brad Holmes, winds up making a move. They've been, you know, really patient in kind of how they've built that team up. They've been extra selective in free agency. So, because he's placed a premium on his draft picks. So how aggressive would he be moving draft picks to potentially add a pass rusher? And then, yeah, that Packers game will be interesting too. They ought to have their hands full. But Jordan Love's been a little bit better here. Yeah. Looked like he was shaking a little rust off from that injury at the beginning of the year. And they're doing a couple things that I've noticed, and I haven't watched a lot of Packer football yet this season, but they're moving the ball up and down the field. They're pretty much whichever way they want. You look at the rushing production, and then they've got countless young wide receivers on that team, and then they're really taking the football away. Total defensive change with a new system and coordinator this year. They've been getting oodles of interceptions. I believe they're leading the National Football League in interceptions. So that will be interesting as well. And such a tight race, all these games are going to impact or have meaning to the Bears anyway.
Great stuff, Bigsy. Really appreciate your time as always.
Thanks,
man.
Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Sun-Times. Interesting.
Tribune.
Oh, Tribune guy.
He was at the Sun-Times with another guy. Tribune. And yeah.
Everybody winds
and
up.
And they both came to the other side. Yeah. Whatever happened to those guys?
That was you recruiting everyone.
True.
All right. We got a lot to get to. 312-644-6767. We should let you know our segment with Brad Biggs is, of course, sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. It's Mully and Haw. Back to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. We're talking Sox, we're talking Bulls, and now we're talking Bears. Come on. What more do you want out of life? Mully and Haw on the Score.
Welcome back.
Checking in for the Chicago Bulls, number 2, Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo Ball wearing jersey 2, and they go right side white in front of the high post. Hooch takes Gobert to the rim, and the pass left corner, Ball for 3. Bam! Welcome back to the NBA. Lonzo Ball with a 3 ball in the far corner.
Felt a lot better playing than watching, I'll say that much. I can't even really put into words how I felt out there. I was just blessed, happy to be out there, man. All the support around me was great all night. Man, it was definitely a moment I'll never forget.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. 33 months later, there he is.
Wow. Think about that.
Ball. I can't.
33 months.
I mean, honestly, I never thought he would be back. And I did feel like it was important for the Bulls to like move on without him.
How many times did we say that?
Yeah.
How many times did we say, all right, No, cover our ears. Don't tell me about another Lonzo Ball update. We're tired of hearing things that won't ever matter.
At least once a month.
At least once a month, maybe. Last night, you started to think, well, maybe they do matter. And they certainly mattered to Lonzo Ball, and him stepping onto the court represented a triumph in itself. But he might be in a position to help the Bulls. He did hit the 3. We heard Chuck with that great call.
He hit two, three.
He had 10 points. He looked a little tentative, as you pointed out, but he did look like a guy who understands where to be on the floor at the right time.
Right.
And that experience will serve him well as he kind of feels things out. Molly, 33 months is a remarkable amount of time to be out for any professional athlete. But you know what? It's interesting. We talk about this different sport, but same cartilage transplant procedure, same surgeon, Brian Cole, did something similar on Gabe Landeskog from the Colorado Avalanche, and he has been out since the 2022 Stanley Cup Finals.
Wow.
And he's about to come back. He's, you know, they're talking the regular reports in Denver about when they're going to get this. He's a very highly accomplished hockey player in the NHL. So if Lonzo Ball comes back, if Landeskog comes back, this is groundbreaking stuff that we're talking about.
Is it? But here's the thing, and I don't know the answer. I mean, is it a common injury? Is it an uncommon injury? Obviously, we got
it's interesting.
Two players in different sports. I'm saying Tommy John was a revolutionary surgery because it's a surgery that happened. It's a surgery. How many Tommy John surgeries have there been now? It's insane.
It's rather routine now,
which is insane.
It's the UCL replacement, and it became kind of a common thing for pitchers to go through. You know, well, we always ask, has he had Tommy John surgery yet? Because you worry until he does. Get it over with. Some kids are having it prematurely or they're kind of preemptively so they can get it out of the way.
So what happened back in the day? I don't know. What was the, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a radical surgery that guys didn't, like, try to pitch with a trick arm.
I'm not sure. That's a great question. I think we should talk to some old-timers about that.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about Gale Sayers in 1969 coming back before medical science had advanced to the point where it has today. ACL recovery has become somewhat commonplace.
Yes.
It's not a career ender any longer. And I do wonder if one day are we going to be referring to what we just saw Lonzo Ball endure, somebody else going through it, as Lonzo Ball surgery?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean that. Like, is it that common? Is the injury, was it a like flukishly bad injury?
Well, in Landeskog's case, he was cut, I believe, by at some point. The circumstances surrounding his injury didn't seem common. Yeah. They were uncommon.
Okay.
Lonzo Ball's situation.
He had a knee.
Yeah, it was his knee that was just a chronic issue.
Yes.
And I just don't know. That's why after the dust settles a little bit and if he gets into more of a rhythm and maybe they exhale a little bit more than they feel relaxed right now. Because right now there's got to be some apprehension. How is he going to wake up? What's he going to feel like? What does it do to the structural?
No question.
You know, how it's how feeling much, in his knee.
You know, how much does he trust it? How much can you trust it? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And let me ask you, is it worse to be on skates or to be running around and jumping? What would be worse for the knee?
I would think maybe just running and jumping. Wouldn't you think so? Because skates provide a little bit more of a foundation for I'm not sure about that. A doctor would have a better answer, but I think my first answer would probably be a guess. Skates.
Hmm.
It's got to be very shaky. You got to feel tentative, and that's probably why he was feeling things out last night in his tennis shoes. Are they family brand?
I was curious actually about the brand. They had that cool. I think they're cool. That patent leather toe kind of thing. I'm not sure what brand he does wear now. One of the versions of the, I don't know, 56 different brands of Michael Jordan had that patent leather toe on it. Pretty cool. That from my couch, it looked like patent leather on the toe looked pretty cool, but I have no idea what brand they are.
I don't think they're the baller brand. Do they make those any longer? I'm not sure that they're.
I thought that went the way. I'm just looking right now. I'm trying to Google.
Well, he is somebody that can celebrate what he accomplished, and I think he put himself in a position to raise expectations. So we're not going to dismiss the possibility. We're not going to say we don't want to hear about Lonzo Ball updates. We're going to talk to Casey Johnson after the break about what is next for the Bulls in terms of waiting and wondering how he fits in. The Bulls have a pretty deep team. Maybe are they going to be better than we thought? They had seven guys in double figures last night. Lonzo Ball was one of them. I never thought we'd get to this point. Maybe that makes us skeptics or cynics or whatever, but I never thought we'd get to the point where legitimately you have to consider Lonzo Ball contributing to the 2024-2025 Bulls. Yeah, here we are.
In March of 2019, it was reported Lonzo Ball severed ties with the Big Baller Brand. Big Baller Brand website shut down in 2019.
It's been a while.
But I think you can still get them if you wanted to order them like from shoe collectors.
We'll do that during the break. Let me order
a
pair.
There are people that just collect kicks. All right. We've got Casey Johnson. We're going to talk to Casey. Maybe he knows everything about the shoes. Mully, it must be the shoes. Mully and Haw on the score.
Undefeated. Never lost.
Lonzo himself has ruled out back-to-backs. Those are completely off the table, Adam. But as far as managing, again, I just want to emphasize how unprecedented this situation is.
Sure.
So this is completely uncharted territory for not only Lonzo, but also the Bulls' medical staff. So it's going to be constant communication, constant monitoring. And the best part about it is, guys, Lonzo's been very honest with how he's felt throughout this process. But Lonzo said he does hope to be playing more than 16 minutes. Just initially, that's the number that they're capping.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. He's our guy, Casey Johnson, with Chicago Sports Network, their fine Bulls insider. And he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. KC, good morning. How are you, bud?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Well, I watched that game last night. Got to tell you, really have enjoyed watching the Bulls. I don't know what will happen when you get to the regular season, and we'll get to Lonzo and all the storylines, but as a general idea of running and kind of having like young players on the court, they are a significantly entertaining team so far.
Yeah, they've made 55 threes their last three preseason games. And again, it's preseason basketball, but there is the commitment to playing the style that Billy Donovan has, you know, preferred to play for a long time. It's just they fell into a situation where DeMar DeRozan was so elite at what he did and obviously was the best player on the court, especially with Zach going through his struggles physically last year. So they played a slower style. And, you know, They're committed to this new style, and they obviously are going to have some challenges at the defensive end. But I agree with you, Mully. Offensively, it's been fun to watch for the most part through this preseason.
KC, like a lot of people, I was floored, impressed, amazed by what Lonzo Ball accomplished, and to the point of wondering if, as you reported last night during the broadcast, if he wants to play more than 16 minutes if things go according to plan or maybe the best laid plans. How does his availability change expectations for the season? Because he is a dynamic player if he plays. I think the question was always if he plays. But if he does, it changes things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the overarching kind of elephant in the room throughout this whole season is obviously the draft pick they owe the Spurs, the top 10 protected pick. You know, it's pretty clear that the management would prefer to keep that pick. It would certainly help their rebuild. So, I mean, you know, it's just a weird situation because I think offensively this team's going to be better than some people think, especially if Lonzo can contribute like he did last night. And there are just so many teams in the East that are not trying to be very good. So they could find themselves, you know, maybe ahead of expectations, and then you're faced with a decision. I mean, do you steer the car into a ditch or do you ride it out and chase a play-in spot? I mean, given what's happened the past few seasons where the play-ins have ended in futility – And given the strength of this draft and how important it would be to keep that draft pick, I would not be surprised if it's the option to steer the car into the ditch. So I don't want to throw a wet blanket on our proceedings here, but that's definitely an intriguing dynamic to monitor as this season progresses.
So a 16-minute time limit, right? And it's going to be broken into 4-minute stretches, roughly. I think he went 5 minutes when he first was in. Is that good for a team, KC? Or is that, you know, I was going back in my mind to Michael Jordan's second year. He has this leg injury, comes out. Jordan just going crazy, and they come back in games, and then he's going to leave because he's on this minutes limit. And they were clearly, there were other things involved. But I'm just curious, with Lonzo, is that good? Is that bad? Is that intrusive? Is that interruptive? Or is that something that will expand maybe getting another player or two on the floor?
Well, I think the important thing to emphasize about Lonzo's game is just how seamless and how connective, how much he plays with connectivity and how much he makes the people around him better. So I think it's a great point in the sense that if it was a different player, it may be kind of abrupt and weird and intrusive. But with Lonzo, it just seems kind of, obviously it's one game, but it just kind of seems, oh yeah, that's Lonzo. That's what he does. He has such a style to him where he just reads the game and connects players around him at both ends, defensively with his communication, offensively with his hit-ahead passes. And he is going to be a different player. He has said that himself. But his three-point shooting, his defensive instincts, all those things are just going to be positives if he can stay on the court. And it's just, it really is a remarkable story. I know you guys played, you know, what I said on the broadcast coming in, and I know we all understand that, but just, I think if anybody needs to understand the impact, just watch the Bulls posted a social media clip of the post-game locker room. I was told it was a pretty emotional scene. You know, several players expressed their love and admiration for what he has endured to get to this point. Kobe White presented him the game ball that Zach LaVine had sprinted to go grab at the buzzer. There's just so much respect and love for Lonzo, because what he has endured is really unfair for a player who loves the game as much as he does. So pretty awesome night last night, guys, on every level.
And the way he's handled himself has been really impressive as well, because he hasn't been a guy that's made a lot of noise, and he's just done things with a lot of class, KC. I agree with that. Couple guys, I want to know how they fit and what you think. One guy who is guaranteed a spot in the rotation, I think, Jalen Smith, the free agent signee. He played last night 18 minutes and looked pretty good. And then Talen Horton-Tucker, a guy who continues to fill it up in this preseason, and I just don't know where he fits.
Well, you know, I asked early on, we'll start with Talen. I asked early on to Billy, you know, like, will the fact that he's a guard hurt him? There's just so many guards in this roster. He is large. He's got a wide base, so he can guard threes, maybe even some small ball fours. I just think the way he's been used in this preseason and the way he has scored so efficiently, I think he, to me, is the leader in the clubhouse to grab that 15th roster spot. I mean, Olerop Atim is the one who has it now. His contract doesn't have any guarantees on it until opening day. But he's barely played this preseason. So to me, what you've seen from THT is just what he's done throughout his career. He's a very gifted and natural scorer. So I would call him the leader in the clubhouse. You know, Jalen, he fits with that style that they want to play with, you know, being able to run the floor. He's very athletic and active, big man, and obviously has the stretch five capabilities to him. Defensively, he's a better rim protector than you might think. You know, especially away from Miles Turner. I mean, Miles Turner cleaned up so many messes for Indiana defensively, but, you know, Jalen would sometimes steer him there, and then Miles would make the block. So I think you're going to see him shine a little bit defensively away from Miles Turner. I'd like to see him catch a little bit better. His hands, to me, have been a little bit of an issue in the preseason, and he's battled some knee soreness, which we're now being told has been an issue throughout his career, which obviously, since we didn't cover him, I wasn't really that privy to. So those are two things to monitor, but he definitely fits with the style that they want to play.
Do you have any idea, now with Lonzo, does that change the rotation for Billy? In other words, you know, we thought he would go about 9 deep. Does he go 10 deep now because he has an extra person that you maybe weren't expecting at one point? Or is somebody going to lose playing time as a result of Lonzo?
I mean, I think we talked about this a little bit when the day you guys had Billy and AK in the studio. I mean, I just think with the way they want to play and they have the number of people they need to develop, I think you might even have to go 10 deep. Yeah. And I mean, you had significant player, you know, development projects that are important to this franchise sitting out last night. And you still had 9 players contribute on a pretty important level. But, you know, Buzelis didn't play last night. Io didn't play last night. Dalen Terry didn't play last night. Julian Phillips didn't play last night. So I think Billy and his staff have a lot on their plate. You know, Javon Carter is like the forgotten man, comes out, hits the go-ahead three late. I mean, he's always professional and ready. Torrey Craig had some nice minutes last night. So I do think Billy talked post-game about how in shape they need to be for how they want to play and just keep putting pressure on the defense with their transition and they're running the floor. So I just think to make that easier, I think you go 10 deep, especially with the number of players they need to develop.
Great job, KC. Appreciate the updates.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Good talking to you.
That is KC Johnson, now with Chicago Sports Network.
Yeah, Chicago Sports Network. He's doing a terrific job and has transitioned very well and had a good night last night. A lot of emotion there, as he said. The Bulls did release that little clip, and you can see the affection they have and the appreciation they have for what Lonzo Ball has accomplished and how far he has come.
All right, we're going to come back with the Fighting Illini head coach, Brett Bielema. We're going to talk about what's going on with the Illini. They got a couple of big games coming up. They got Michigan at home. We're keeping our focus on the Michigan
game. They're playing Michigan, and they are ranked ahead of Michigan.
Yes.
That doesn't happen every year.
And I think Michigan's favored by 1.5. Is that it?
Yeah.
Dustin will give us the number, but they're playing Michigan, then they go to Eugene, Oregon.
Oh boy.
And they play Oregon after that. But let's deal with Michigan.
One at a time.
One at a time. It's all you can play. So we'll do that next. Mullion Hall on the Score.